Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
I'm Balázs Parotai, and I'm a sourcing leader and advisor and trainer. So in short, I help companies maximize their sourcing capability, which means that whoever, whatever wants to grow their sourcing power, superpower, they can turn to me, you know, for training, for any sort of consultancy or leadership mentoring. So yeah, this is my passion, this is my life, and I think this is my expertise.
Balázs, thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. Very excited about this conversation you and I have prepped. Before we do that and jump into all of the great things you're currently doing, currently building, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
Wow, yeah. You know, I like to start, you know, with my pre-sourcing word, but you know, just one sentence about that one. So I never wanted to work in business, I can tell you. Never. I always wanted to work in art and, you know, and all sorts of things. So I started composing contemporary music. And then I was an assistant director in the opera house. So I really did try everything to avoid business, I can tell you. And then, you know, like fast forward 18 years, you know, I find myself, you know, running a sourcing consultancy myself. And, you know, I'm working with great and, you know, big and smaller companies to really help them source well. Now, the reason why I'm telling you, because I do believe that, you know, that my background in art and theater and opera, that was really helpful for me to, you know, to continuously keep a sort of like a external point of view, you know, like I'm always seeing myself like an outsider in this whole story. And as an outsider, I keep fresh my, you know, my ability to, you know, to doubt things, to ask about things, you know, to challenge the status quo and to, you know, to always try to think out of the box. So in terms of my professional career, right? So it's been 18 years since I'm loving sourcing. I joined a headhunter agency a long time ago as a researcher. I was still one of the people, you know, who was using the phone, calling into companies, saying like, hey, my name is, you know, John Smith, and I left my cat in my neighbor's garden and, you know, whatever. And then over time, I was growing in the career ladder, but it's like particularly in sourcing. So I never, you know, I never wanted to become a TA director, TA head or whatsoever. I always wanted to stay at sourcing, but grow within sourcing. And I've been fortunate a lot, I can tell you, to grow a career within sourcing. So, you know, like after a few regional sourcing leadership positions, I've been fortunate to join Cielo Talent as their global sourcing vice president, which was the highest level of sourcing, you know, like authority within that company. So yeah, so that's my background. I do sourcing, I train sourcing, and I help companies build their sourcing function.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's super exciting and definitely very diverse background you have. And I can definitely understand how some of the background in art and things like that actually does help you in your current professional career. So having spent quite a few years in talent acquisition in sourcing, I understand you also work with organizations, you know, training their sourcing teams, their recruitment groups. Tell us a little bit more about that process. What are some of the challenges that recruiting teams currently face? And as part of kind of your training curriculum, what are some of the things that maybe help them overcome some of those obstacles?
Right, right. Okay, well, quite a few challenges, I would say. probably the number one, I'd say is that we right now at this moment, you know, in these months and weeks, we are witnessing a shift, a mindset shift, you know, a change in the way how we can approach recruiting and sourcing. It is really like over the last 2 years, you know, it's been accelerated massively. Things that we were talking about, you know, for years now, it's all reality. You know, think about, you know, like things like diversity, technology, globalization, like, you know, like such small topics, right? Like, you know, we've been talking about these things, you know, for a long time, for decades, and now these all have just become reality. Now, what does it mean? Well, you know, first of all, you know, from a sourcing standpoint, diversity, right? Let's take this one. Every company is having an extremely hard focus on diversity nowadays. Everyone finally has understood that diversity is, you know, like a key point. Diversity does matter. And companies nowadays are really keen to find ways how they can source and attract and hire, you know, like entirely diverse candidates. So that's, you know, for instance, one. But it's not easy, right? Because there are so many questions, so many open questions that you need to face and you need to answer. You know, it's difficult, you know, sometimes, you know, can I approach a woman just because they are a woman? You know, like, how can I find, you know, like female engineers? You know, like, what is the right way to do that? You know, a long list of questions. Now, the other one is technology. So I think, you know, recruiters are not so technology savvy people. I think, you know, we can say that one, you know, we still believe that. And it's true, you know, don't get me wrong. It's true that recruiting is really a human, you know, it's a human job, right? So we deal with people. But our job, I mean, has become really technology driven. And recruiters nowadays have to find a way to start leveraging, you know, like a stack of technologies, you know, under their belt, right? So it's not just, you know, that you use LinkedIn or use a job board and use, you know, you may have an ATS, but you may have an ATS and LinkedIn, you know, you may have access to multiple job boards, and also your Chrome browser may, you know, like may contain what, like 40, 50 various Chrome extensions. And you always have to have an open eye on the market, you know, looking out, you know, all of the new extensions, all of the new tools. So technology nowadays does support recruiting and does help recruiting. It's a little bit like it's a little bit fragmented. So we have like tons of little piece of technologies. But I do see now that, you know, how all of these things, you know, like finally like stand together, you know, like come up. So, but hey, that's difficult for a recruiter. And I may say a last thing. So on top of it, on top of all of these changes, I still see quite some recruiters, I still meet them, you know, who, you know, for whom it's difficult to step out of their regular recruiting comfort. Like to give you an example, is LinkedIn a professional only channel? You know, yes or no, like, can we have something else, like some other type of conversation on LinkedIn as well? Can we post something which is not strictly work driven? You know, can we approach a candidate on Facebook? Like, you know, like, do we have these Chinese walls still between work and life? Or do we see these things, you know, being more blended and more aligned? I mean, these are real questions nowadays. When I train people and I say, hey, yes, you can message someone on Messenger, they're like, oh, but can I really use my private profile? I say, yeah, I think you can. Yeah. You know, we leave the time that you can. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. No, those are definitely very interesting observations and very relevant to what's going on in the current markets. In terms of the different trends in staffing and talent acquisition, whether that's technology innovation or any new processes or ways of attracting the talent to your organizations, I'm pretty sure you spend a lot of time researching the different trends and where the markets are basically shifting towards to share some of those trends and ideas right. That you're personally very excited about.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Quite a few, right? First thing is technology, right? I mean, you know, listen, I was someone, you know, who like 10 years ago, I remember, I will never forget, 10 years ago, I was talking I was speaking at a conference, and it was a recruiting tech conference. And I was the advocate of the devil. That was my role in that conference. So I was the person who's like, no technology person, you know. Maybe that was 15 years ago, some time ago. And that time, one of my arguments was that, I mean, hey, listen, even Google Translate is still unable to correctly translate language. So, you know, technology will never really take over the whole world and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now, you go to Google Translate and, you know, they do an extremely nice job. And, you know, they have no problem to translate any languages to, you know, to anything else. Or at least, you know, the very least to say that they can now translate, you know, almost every language really seamlessly. So yeah, the world has changed, you know, technology has evolved a lot. So what is, you know, what is a great challenge? I think is still nowadays is to find the balance, you know, what a human has to do, like has to own and run and conduct, and what can be given to a piece of technology. You know, what is the balance? Like does a recruiter have to conduct research, or shall we give this research, you know, rather to a technology, right? Shall we give it to a technology to run the search for us? You know, what is, which one do we trust more? Do we trust more the recruiter's searching capability, you know, their Boolean, or do we trust more the search capabilities of a search engine? That's one question. Or to give you another one, which I love a lot, you know, is the whole automated candidate outreach. And, you know, and something that we call the semi-personalization. So there are, you know, a list of technology providers that can automate the candidate outreach, right? So they, you know, you can build an entire cadence within that technology in a way that you write your first email and then you write your follow-up and second follow-up and third follow-up and whatsoever. Now, within these technologies, you can also personalize your message. Not only can you use the first name, but you can use the first name in combination with a GIF or with an image or even with a video. You can use, you know, the dates, like a lot of things you can personalize and program in advance. And then all you have to do is just to hit the button and to run the cadence. And you know what? We have clients that use these sort of like automation systems. And you know what is really interesting? That for a long time, we thought that the search component will be the first one that technology will automate. And we thought that, no, the engagement part, because that's the human, you know, that's the convincing part, that's, you know, that's a human-to-human interaction, you know, that will not be automated. Now, what I see is the total opposite. I still see that we have to run the human capabilities to search for people, and now we can automate the entire outreach, which is really amazing. And if you have time, let me give you a last thing, like a last trend. Imagine this, you know, I talk about sourcing. Imagine this. So like, think about sourcing as not a job of a human, but think about sourcing as a process, you know, which has various certain process steps. Now, some of these steps can be given to a piece of technology. Some of these steps will be kept by your recruiter. Some of these steps can be given to anyone on the planet. So there are technologies, you know, that leverage the crowds of sourcers globally from wherever, because they can do that for you. So when you think about your process in this way, that what is the step that I want to keep in my house? What is the like activity that I can give to a technology? And what is the activity that I can give to, you know, to the crowd, like to gig workers or freelancers or whoever, you know? That is just like a way new, like it's a brand new way how we think about recruiting and sourcing. And I'm like, as you can see, I'm super excited about these things. Yeah, because, you know, we've never seen this before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Absolutely. No, definitely, you know, appreciate you sharing the some of the insights that you personally very excited about. And furthermore, I want to double click on that. with the recruiting teams that you work with, or, you know, the teams that you train on some of these tools or techniques to succeed in this highly competitive market, share with us any of perhaps characteristics of a recruiting team that you had observed that makes them, I guess, more successful than the other in terms of not only their ability to utilize certain tools, but more around a particular skill set, whether that's soft skills or communication type with the potential candidates. Talk to us a little bit further about some of the things that you train their recruiters when it comes to becoming better at their job and staying highly competitive in this space.
Right. So I was talking to one of my friends in the States, and she's working as an L&D partner for a big company. And she was talking about like a method or a philosophy that she believes in. And that's all about, you know, how people learn. And that's all about what is the foundation of learning and training. Now, what is really interesting that she told me that her model or her philosophy had four steps, like four stairs. It's like a Maslow pyramid, you know. On the very bottom, like step four, is the question whether someone likes your training or doesn't like. You know, that's a really basic experimental thing, you know, like, me as a trainer, am I entertaining enough? You know, like, am I a great guy or not? Am I engaging or, you know, or not? Now that's the very bottom level. Now, one step ahead, we have level three, which is like, will the recruiter learn new content from me? You know, like, is there something new that they've never ever heard about before? You know, that's a really important step, because that gives a sort of like a qualification of the training. Now, then there's a really important, you know, like there's a really important milestone, because between step three and step two, we see a great challenge. And a great challenge is that whatever the trainer was talking about, like his new content, will that be strong enough or influencing enough or inspiring enough to run a behavior change in the life of the recruiter? Now, I can give you an example. When I train recruiters about using other channels than LinkedIn only, right? I tell them to use Twitter, GitHub, Stack Overflow, WhatsApp. That part, step three, right? So that, or level three, that is easy, because they will have an aha moment. They're like, wow, that's so great. You know, I never knew that I could search here or there like this way. But will they really change the behavior? Will they really, you know, like stick to this new knowledge? Like, will they pick like a level of this, like a, you know, like a chunk of this knowledge into their new behavior? When they, you know, when they really exhaust LinkedIn, will they remember that they can also search on here and, you know, and there? And they will they really apply that new knowledge? So that's level two. That's the behavior change. And there's a last one, and that's the level number one, you know, is whether you as a business owner, whether you are able to realize any real business impact or not. So when it comes to training, you know, it's like, do you like it or not? Do you learn new stuff or not? Can you change the behavior or not? And can you realize a significant business impact from whatever has been trained on the team? Now, based on the last 2.5 years, what I'm seeing is that those recruiting teams are able to run through all of these levels, you know, who first of all understand that sourcing will not be learned over 2 weeks or over 2 days, you know, who knows that, you know, they have to, whatever they learn, they have to practice. And sometimes, you know, this practice is difficult. Sometimes they have to practice, you know, a lot, you know, on certain days. I've met teams who learned from the masterclass. And then after the masterclass, they decided to build, you know, to split the various knowledge packages among the team. What I'm saying is, like, within the team now, they have a Facebook expert, they have a GitHub expert, they have, you know, someone who's an expert of the subject lines, they have an engagement expert, right? So you can spread the knowledge, and you can spread you know, the new content this way. And then you can make sure that when someone is having a challenge, you know, like, let's say with Facebook, they can turn to that certain person who will be the, you know, the knowledge owner of that particular topic. So basically, you know, like that's, this is super important that before you, as a leader, you commit to any source of training, you need to think about this. Am I strong enough or committed enough or driven enough that I will want to see a business impact at the end of the way? Because if yes, then you can, you know, then you can find the way how you will manage, you know, this knowledge pyramid. So these, you know, these four levels of the training.
Right, absolutely. And we can probably spend the rest of the podcast talking about this particular, you know, space because it's so complex and at the same time,
right, yeah,
to go about this. But I appreciate you sharing that from that standpoint. When it comes to you know, recruiters, personal branding is, you speak about that a lot, and you obviously you invest a lot, you know, into that space. For recruiters, I would imagine that's also of one of the top priorities, but at the same time, it's oftentimes not as highly as prioritized because you want to allocate most of your time to direct tasks such as, you know, the pre-screening, the sourcing, and, you know, talking to candidates. Tell us a little bit more about the importance of personal brand for recruiters so that there is a brand out there that when a particular candidate or a team is looking for somebody that they know that this particular recruiter is a specialist in this space and they have a pretty strong network of qualified candidates that could be delivered for that very complex requisition. Tell us a little bit more about that and maybe some strategies for recruiters to continuously get into that habit and build a very strong personal brand.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I always love to start this whole topic with a statement that you like it or you may not, but whatever, you know, regardless you have a big network on LinkedIn or regardless that you try to hide yourself, I mean, like whatever you do, just know that you've already got a personal brand. I mean, you know, personal brand is not something that you need to build. You have a personal brand. You know, do you have a shadow? Yes, you do. So then you have a personal brand. That's how I see this one. You know, your personal brand has been born the same day than when you were born, and it's growing together with you. Now, if you see it, you know, from this standpoint, then you've got a chance to think about how you want to build it and, you know, how you want people to see your personal brand. Because, you know, we are not living in cages, right? Like we are visible, you know, like individuals, like we are visible beings. So people see us. And, you know, my approach to my personal brand was that, okay, if people can see me, well, then I want to control the information that people will see about me. So that was my first, you know, my first point. And that's how I always start talking about personal brand, that, you know, just acknowledge that you've got a personal brand. When you think about, try to see yourself, you know, from the outside point of view, look out of Facebook and have a look on your Facebook profile. You know, ask one of your, I don't know, colleagues to visit your Facebook profile, to visit your LinkedIn profile. Are you happy with what they see about you? Ask them what they think about, you know, who you might be. Are you happy with this feedback? Is it the 100% of you? Is it what you really want to show the world? Because if not, then you've got to work on this one. The way I like to think about is that I'm always trying to encourage recruiters to realize that their personal brand is not just their work brand. Personal brand has to be human. Because human connect with human. It's that simple. If a human is a great human, then we will connect with that person. If a human is not a great human, then, you know, we may not want to connect with them. It's just like that. So don't build just a work person brand. Build like a human person brand, which is a blend of work and life and WhatsApp. So I'm always saying that try to pick three topics of yourself, which might be your three, like your triangle. You're the triangle of yourself. Who are you? Can you tell me who you are with three words? And then start building stories around these three topics. And, you know, and then the rest will just come. So, yeah, I mean, I can talk about personal brand, you know, for 2 weeks without even a second pause. But you tell me if you want me to keep talking, because I really I have so many thoughts about this one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see you're very passionate about this. And it makes sense at the end of the day. That's, you know, your personal brand is exactly who you are, especially in the space where you operate. Training recruiters, talking to many candidates on a daily basis, that becomes of even more utmost importance.
You know, like so many recruiters believe that it's only us checking candidates on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. No, they don't think that every person does the same. You know, when I'm interviewing with a recruiter, let's say me being a software engineer, I will check that recruiter on Twitter or Facebook, you know, like, of course, you know, like people are curious beings. So, you know, like, so that's why it's so important that we have to show the image of the word that we are happy with.
No, absolutely. That's a very strong point from that perspective. In terms of questions that really help recruiters get an immediate sense if that particular candidate possesses that particular personality that may fit the culture of the organization that they're trying to help. Tell us a little bit more about that process, or maybe some examples of the questions that the recruiters can really dive into to understand the personality. I understand the technical side, the specific skills is very, very specific. But when it comes to something, you know, very, very generic as uncovering, you know, candidate's personality, it's very subjective. So tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on some of the questions that recruiters could be really asking.
Right. That's a great question. I need to say that I'm not an interviewing expert, right? So, but what I would like to share is basically two things. One is what I learned from Jerry Crispin. So he said that there is only one important interview question that every recruiter has to ask, just one. And that question is this. So you see, imagine that you interview a candidate, you know, that's at the end of the interview, right? And then you ask this question. Is there a question that we haven't yet asked from you, but we should have? And I think this is a brilliant question. Like, is it a question that, you know, Jan, I should have asked from you. Like, is it something that you really actually wanted to tell me? I just forget to ask about. Is it something that, you know, like somehow because of my bias, because of my background, I don't know, somehow I didn't let you shine during the interview? And when you ask this one question from people, people really start shining. You know, they just like glory up, you know, like they really come out and they will say, yes, actually, you can ask this question from me. And then they will share something extremely personal and extremely great thing. Now that's one. The other, which I like, and I will give you two more, which I really like a lot. So we need to think about, so there are recruiters who like to recruit out. Like they select out people, you know, they assess out people. And there are recruiters who assess in. And you know, it's when you give chances to people to tell you why they think that they would, you know, they would be a great fit for your company, instead of, you know, me trying to ask the right, you know, the standard questions like, hey, you know, yeah, like whatever, are you driven by results? Da, 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 da. Yeah, you know, give people the chance to decide on this question instead of you trying to decide. And I like the last thing is like, I don't know who, but someone was on one of these conferences, someone once asked this question that what was the last time when you were hiring not a cultural fit, but a cultural ad? Like someone, you know, who will not fit into your culture, but a person, you know, who is different than your culture today. And that's why, and that's how that person will add to your culture. you know, that person will help your culture grow, evolve, change, you know. And I think this is super important because we tend to still hire, you know, for cultural fit. But cultural fit is usually really limiting, you know, the skills and, you know, and the capabilities. Cultural add is an open window, is an open door, is, you know, is more inclusive and it's, you know, it's just more welcoming, I guess.
Yeah, we have no, absolutely. Those are definitely very interesting and creative ways to uncover someone's, you know, personality and ability to adapt to a certain culture. So I appreciate you sharing that. When it comes to your content diet, your personal sources for learning and keeping yourself educated on all things that are going on in your industry, share with us those that you consume on a daily basis.
Right. Well, on a daily basis, I definitely would say that this is, you know, my friends, the sourcing community on Facebook, right? So it's, yeah, let me correct it. So the sourcing community is spread over a range of platforms, and Facebook is one of the platforms. But when it comes to group conversations, right? So like groups like SourceCon and, you know, and the like, then, you know, naturally we've ended up with Facebook. There are some other communities on Discord and, you know, other platforms as well, but Facebook so far is the natural, you know, go-to platform when it comes to recruiting communities. So that's one thing. certainly, you know, there are the webinars, the events, which are online events nowadays. Those are a great source of information and source of knowledge. But I would really, really emphasize is the power of the human network, you know, of the sourcing and recruiting community. Because this community is really open, really welcoming. And I think most of the people I know, they are really driven to give back to the society and to give back to the community. And, you know, for instance, this is what I'm doing all the time. If someone comes to me, I always reply to them. I always share. I don't mind sending a string. I don't mind sharing a, you know, a trick or, you know, or just correcting someone's search, as long as they find me somewhere and they come to me, you know, with a question. So I think, you know, the best platform nowadays is really the network and the network of, you know, of this whole community.
No, that makes perfect sense. And likewise, I also get a lot of kind of, at least for me, a great source of information and learning is, you know, within my network, within the people that I talk to on a daily basis. Hence the reason I host a very active podcast.
Right, see, look at that.
I get an opportunity to, you know, to tap into your ways of thinking and your, in kind of your frames of thought. So that always helps. Last but not least, share with us what are you currently reading in terms of the book, or maybe is there a book that you always recommend to others and why is that?
Right. So that one, and I want to recommend the recent book of Irina Shamayama. Now, that's a book about Google custom search engines. The reason why I want to recommend this one. So first of all, because step behind. So that book is all about how to build a brilliant Google custom search engine. Okay. In the middle of the book, it becomes quite technical. Like, you know, you need to look into the metadata of, you know, whatsoever. I'm a sourcing expert. I'm not an engineer, right? I'm not an IT person whatsoever. So in the middle of the book, I was like, will I really understand this book? Or, you know, I may just like, you know, put it aside because it's not written for me. Like Irina Shamayama, she's really technical, right? But am I able to really consume her book and to learn it? And the reason why I'm picking this book, because it was amazing that even a person like me without any engineering or IT background, even that person is able nowadays to pick up something like something super technical. And that book, like, has been written extremely well to help you pick up all of this new knowledge. And the reason why I'm picking this book, because I firmly believe that as the way we go forward, more and more of us will have to be able to, you know, a little code, a little program, like to be able to touch these technology things, you know, like to be able to, I don't know, to write a script or to, you know, put together a program or to put together a automation recipe on Zapier or Phantom Buster. Like, we have to find a way how we can impress ourselves that we are actually quite technical. And yes, we can, you know, we can learn that. And maybe one last thought on this one. So, because I don't know about you, but, you know, in my school, when I was, let's say, in you know, high school or college, you know, like, people were divided by human, you know, the interest in human objects and interest in, you know, in the mathematical world, like math, physics, you know, like the scientific world. And, you know, that was like a black and white thing. You know, if someone is strong in literature or history, that person will never deal with whatever. But that word is gone. We all are able to learn coding and programming. And that's something really, really cool, I think, in nowadays. And that's why I want to recommend that book by Irina Shalem.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate the recommendation, and we'll make the title and link to the book available in the show notes. Balazs, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was a very short and insightful conversation. It definitely begs for part two and part three, so we can dive a little bit deeper into some of the areas that you're personally very passionate about. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. These were really great questions. So, you know, my brain just, you know, like, didn't stop. Like, now I can talk more and more and more and more.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.